You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Everybody at home and welcome. This is another episode of To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt and I'm one of your co-hosts on this lovely show. With me as always is...
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan Riddell, guess what?
What?
Our listeners are amazing. And you know why?
Why? Well, I know why, but how about you tell me?
Yes, well, our listeners have been amazing, even more amazing than they usually are about their feedback, because we've asked for a lot of feedback as of late, and they have just continuously been delivering. Now, we've asked them for a few things here and there, and we have not done much of an update, and so I wanted to just have like a big intro full of updates on things that we've asked feedback for and what were the results of what happened. So, first things first... congratulations, you won the nickname poll from our Q in the Gray commentary, where I said that Helmboy was a nickname that stuck more than Bar Rodent and or Chuckles. Well, guess what? The listeners sided with you, so there you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Rachel, for understanding where I'm coming from. She was the one person in my corner. Everybody else loves you, and that's fine.
I mean, you'd think you'd be used to it by now, but it's okay.
You would think I would be, but okay, whatever. So the story continues. One of these days I'll get one on you, but not this time. So thanks everybody for chiming in on that. But also, we got a few responses as to why people like the episode Fury. There are people out there that like the episode Fury. There really are. And my favorite explanation of the ones that we got was that it's so bad, it's good.
I saw that explanation, and I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is that with Threshold, it's such an out there concept, and it's so crazy and weird that you just go along with it for the ride. Mm-hmm. With Fury, it just pisses you off.
Well, here is the thing, Tristan, is I think there are people who see Fury in the same light that we see Threshold. And so they can just sit back and enjoy it, and they don't get pissed. They just realize this is really off the wall. This is not the way we know and remember Kes, but it is just so incredibly wrong that you just enjoy it and take it in. I can see that, even though I don't agree with it, because I can't do that myself with that episode, but I see where they're coming from.
Well, if that's how they feel, more power to them. Mm-hmm. If that's how they can enjoy the episode, fantastic, because we always like to encourage enjoyment over disappointment. But with me, with Threshold, it's not doing a disservice to any character, really. With Fury, yeah, it's a huge disservice to a character that we haven't seen for a long time. Like, with Tom, you know, like, Threshold's a Tom episode, so if you think it does a disservice to Tom, we're going to get a great one. You know, like, just in a couple of seasons, or like in a couple of weeks or a couple of months or something like that, we'll have another chance. With Fury, this was our one and only chance after she left the show.
It's true. Yeah, that is a big difference, is that it does do a disservice to Kes. It's extremely out of character for her. But yeah, I personally don't enjoy it, but there are apparently people out there who do. And so thank you for those of you who chimed in, because now we know that you are out there and there is something out there for everybody.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, we all see things a little differently. So that was really good. That was informative. So thank you. And the last thing I want to mention is somebody suggested, and I'm sorry, I do not remember your name, on the Babel conference, that we add a little something to our countdowns when we do our commentaries. I think this is a great suggestion. Instead of saying 3, 2, 1, go, we should say instead 3, 2, 1, do it. In Janeway style. And then when the commentary is done, guess what I should say?
Times.
That's right. Yes, times up. And I can't help but agree. Hopefully we remember that for the next time we do a commentary, and we will all have a jolly good time.
I will write that down.
Okay, great, because my memory is awful. All right, so that is a little bit of update on our feedback. Thanks, everybody, again, for chiming in. You can always contact us on Twitter. My handle is the Profanity. Tristan, you are the Insane Robin. And, of course, you can comment on the Babel Conference, or you can go to trek.fm/contact and write us there, because that gets emailed to us. Now, the real show, the real topic of the show this week. We are coming back to one of my very favorite things. This has quickly become a favorite. I loved it when Mike and Drew did this on Standard Orbit, and that is Essential Trek. This week, we are doing Season 3.
Season 3 of Essential Trek, the first episode of Season 3, aired on September 4th of 1996.
96, baby. Good times.
Jeez, that just feels like so long ago.
It was almost 20 years ago now, which disgusts me. Quite honestly, we're not that old. We're really not.
I know. See, that's what bugs me, is that I still see myself as a young person, and some people would say no, other people would say absolutely, because I was born in 86. But what really bothers me is that I can remember things that were 20 years ago, that were over 20
well,
years ago.
That's all a part of this getting older process. And yeah, there's just, I wonder sometimes how this happened. Like, how did I get to be in my mid-30s? No. I'm still 15, like it was in 96. You know, I should be going to high school or something. It's so weird. All right. Well, I want to kick us off with a question, because I recall that we kept Basics Part 1 mm-hmm. with our Season 2 Essential Trek, or our Essential Voyager. And I'm wondering if we should make a rule where if we keep one episode of a two-parter, you are automatically obligated to keep part two.
I don't know if that's absolutely necessary, because there's certain times when I think there are two episodes, like there's a two-parter that I don't think needs to be a two-parter.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't think of right now, but I don't know if we should create that rule just now. Now, I remember we did have an interesting idea, and by we, I think it was me, where it was, I just mess with you. This was a controversial idea where every season we would get one maybe.
Oh, right. The optional. And in season two, it was Threshold. I feel like that should be a very rare case. I don't even think we need one a season. If we do, that's great, but I feel like those should be really few and far between.
Okay. I don't know. Like, let's not nail down too many rules. I think let's just keep it open, keep it fluid. I think, I mean, for this particular one, I mean, the first episode is Basics Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the description. With the Kazon Nistrum in control of Voyager, the crew must return to basics in order to survive on a harsh world inhabited by alien natives and vicious predators. Meanwhile, Suter and the Doctor assist Paris's attempts to retake Voyager.
That's right. Now, I am going to come right out and say it. I think we ought to keep this one. I feel like, you know, Star Trek does a lot of really good part one cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes part two is a little, you know, it takes it down a notch here and there. But with this one, I feel like part two is even better than part one.
Part two is pretty great. There's a few things that kind of drag. Like with the stuff with the natives, I think is just okay kind of stuff. Like I loved their when they were trying to survive, and like, you know, when Janeway would like cut her hair in order to create a fire and everything like that. That kind of stuff was really great, and all the stuff on the ship was great. But the stuff with the savage natives, you know, I was just kind of you know, I don't know. But that's just my take. I mean, I think it's a great episode, and I'm not arguing. I think we absolutely need to keep this, because they, like, you know, like we say Essential Trek for the first episode, like, oh my God, the ship was stolen from them. I wonder how, you know, how it turns out. You kind of need to see how it turns out.
Yeah. That's why I kind of wanted to present the question about two-parters, because, well, you can't just like strand them on the planet and then not follow up to that. You know what I mean?
But there might be a situation, and I can't think of anything right now, where you could skip the first episode of a two-parter.
Ah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll cross that bridge if we come to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as this one goes, definitely a keeper in my book.
Definitely a keeper.
Okay. Well, let's move on next to Flashback.
Flashback, when Tuvok begins to suffer from a mental breakdown, triggered by a supposed memory, a mind meld with Janeway takes him back to his tour of duty with Captain Sulu aboard the USS Excelsior.
Okay, you know what? I am really torn about this one because I think it means more to us as longtime fans than it would be to somebody watching Essential Voyager for the first and possibly only time.
You know what? You're right, because the only thing that was really going to get me to say, yes, it's essential is because of the nostalgia factor and what it means to the fandom. Because this episode is big amongst Star Trek ranks because it has Sulu in it.
Right. But if you have no idea who Captain Sulu is, and if you've never seen Star Trek VI and you don't understand kind of the scenario that they're working with, I don't know if that means a whole lot without that context.
Yeah, so I'd say essential to the fandom, but essential to a rewatch? Eh.
Well, this isn't even a rewatch.
Not a rewatch, but like essential for the first time. Yeah, I'd have to say no.
Yeah. And yeah, I know there's going to be listeners screaming about this, but this is a really good episode. I really like this episode. You know what? I actually don't like this episode that much just because DS9 totally outdid themselves with Trials and Tribulations. And of course, Flashback was the other 30th anniversary episode, and they poured their heart and souls into this one too, but the story has a lot of problems, and it really pales in comparison to what DS9 did, and no, I don't think it's essential at all, and I want to cut it.
Yeah, I'm with you where I never loved this episode as much as everybody else did. I think everybody kind of looks back on it with rose-colored glasses just because George Takei is amazing and is awesome in the episode. But I think the story is a little muddled and it feels pretty choppy in my mind. So I'd have to say no, it's not essential to
the season. Stricken
from the record.
That's right. Okay. Next up then is The Shoot.
Harry Kim and Tom Paris are found guilty and detained in a prison where a neural implant gradually drives the inmates mad.
The point of keeping this one would be, of course, the relationship of Tom and Harry.
Yes.
Really, I mean, if there's any doubt that these guys are buds, bromance for life, this episode really solidifies it. It's a good episode for them, but I personally think this episode is a little boring.
This was interesting because this was beginning of season three. We're on episode three of season three. And this was like the first really violent Voyager episode we got. I mean, like,
you're right.
In like the first 10, 15 minutes, I can't remember, we see a guy get his throat cut from beginning to end. And I remember being really this was in 96, so we're in the golden age of Trek here. I remember being thoroughly shocked and my parents being shocked too, going like, oh, is this how it's going to be? Is this how Voyager's going to be from now on? Because we see that on CSI and every kind of cop show imaginable on USA and network television. It's every day now. But back then, that was kind of a big deal on TV and especially a big deal on Star Trek.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do not see tons of violence on Star Trek, at least not in a more 20th century context where it's blood and knives making actual cuts. It's usually phaser fire and things like that.
And people falling down, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're right. That was a very different take. But I mean, as for the story itself,
the story is a little prolonged. I find it interesting. I like this episode more than you do. And if it wasn't for the importance to character development and relationship development, we could probably say no. But the thing is, that's what we got away in Essential Trek.
I know.
It's not always essential story details, but it is essential character details. So this one, I have to say yes.
Okay. Well, the other awesome point of this episode is if you need to suffer through the other 42 minutes of this episode, there is that moment where badass Janeway plunges down with a phaser rifle in hand and takes command of the situation. And so there is that redeeming moment.
That is an awesome moment, but it always pissed me off because I'm like, why would you send the captain down first?
Right? It's true. Like, why isn't Tuvok going down there first or something?
Why is she going down at all?
Well, you know, sometimes Janeway's got to get her kicks and you just can't hold her back. I'm just wondering how essential this is for character development because we know that Tom and Harry are bros and we're going to have a lot of like other examples of this in the future. Do we have to know this moment?
I think this is this is a key moment, and I think this, if like, and you said it yourself, if there was any doubt that they were gonna be friends or stay friends, this solidifies the moment. And like, yeah, there's a lot of buddy moments later on where they're hanging out on the holodeck, or you know, they have fun together, or they go together for dating advice or something like that. But this one is an extreme event in both of their lives, and you don't get a lot of those later on with Harry and Tom. It's usually just like, oh, you know, let's go share a beer in the in the holodeck or something like that. This one is, you saved my life, and so you fended off other prisoners and saying, this man's my friend, and that meant something to Tom, and so I think it means something to us.
All right, fair enough. I can't argue that too much, so let's keep it. All right, next up, the Swarm.
The Doctor suffers from a computer malfunction. Voyager is attacked by a swarm of alien warships.
Boring.
This is very boring, but here's the thing. And I'm not saying yes or no.
Okay.
I'm posing the question. Here's the thing. Is that the Doc loses his memory at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But then he really quickly gains it back afterwards.
That's exactly what I was going to follow up to that statement. This episode is so inconsequential that it doesn't need to stick around at all. Like, this was a great idea, but we don't see him relearning hardly anything.
Yeah, we really don't. They kind of, like, they set it up as something, and I think we only get another reference to it in Future's End when he's like, I am just recently regaining all of my memories. And then, like, I remember seeing that in Future's End going, oh yeah, he did lose his memory.
Right. Well, and then really, what was the point of that? It was an interesting idea, but there just wasn't a whole lot of fleshing out of it where,
no.
Okay, you're going to basically restart the EMH. And?
Now, it is the first time that we see Zimmerman.
We're gonna see Zimmerman a lot.
Alright, well then it's gone.
Bye-bye. Alright, that leads to False Prophets, Episode 5.
Voyager discovers a pair of Ferengi who control the economy of a primitive world. Nearby is an unstable wormhole that leads back home. I say yes. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Ferengi episodes. I do. And this one, it's an Alpha Quadrant connection, and you know people love Alpha Quadrant connections. And even if they didn't see TNG beforehand, like if they didn't see Undiscovered Country, I think this would be fun to have the Enterprise mentioned, but you don't need to know that. You don't need to know the story because they summarize it here. And I don't know, it's them trying to get home, and it's a missed opportunity to get home. I don't know, like, I'm saying I like the episode and I think it's fun, but it might not be essential. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm trying to set aside my personal feelings about the episode because I'm not as much of a fan of it as you are. But it is kind of nice to have a little bit of an Alpha Quadrant connection. And especially for those who do know the story from TNG, this is the nice follow-up to that. And no, you don't have to know that. I think it definitely helps, though.
Now, does it add to the overall arching theme of Voyager getting home? I think that's another thing that we constantly talk about with season one and season two, is that does this add to the theme of them getting home? And yeah. I'd have to say yes.
Okay, and why?
Because this is a real solid chance for them to get home. This is probably the closest that they've been to almost getting home.
That's true.
This is a wormhole, literally home.
Yeah.
They're at the end, they're turning their ship and they can't keep up fast enough to go to the opening. And if they just were just a few, you know, 100 kilometers closer, they would have been home and then boom, gone forever. And the Ferengi make it home.
Yeah.
And it's just another kick in the pants. I think it's just, I don't know, because the whole mission is them trying to get home. How can we miss an episode where they almost make it home?
Yeah, you're right. All right. I suppose we got to keep this one.
False Prophets.
Okay. Next up is Remember.
Remember, B'Elanna Taurus receives vivid dreams from an unknown passenger aboard Voyager. Okay.
Drop it.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it this episode. This excels in some areas, but fails in more. And it's never mentioned again. I don't think it gives any character development for B'Elanna. I think nothing's learned for the character, and nothing is gained. And so I say we get rid of it.
Yeah, I actually like to watch this episode. I like the way that it handles the issue of genocide and whatnot. But you're right, no character development. And just as a rule, any episode that has some sort of like memory sort of title, you know, remember, unforgettable, that mm-hmm. sort of a thing. Most of the times, those are the most forgettable episodes in the whole series, and this one is extremely inconsequential. We don't need to have it on Essential Voyager.
Yeah, it would be one thing if B'Elanna was forever changed from it, but she's not.
Nope. So bye.
Bye.
Okay, that leads to Sacred Ground, Episode 7.
Kes is injured when she accidentally commits sacrilege on an alien planet. In order to save her life, Janeway must go through a mysterious ritual that challenges her faith. Okay, I don't like this episode, but is this character development for Janeway?
I want to say yes and no. I think for the episode, it certainly does. But beyond that, it's really hard to tell. This episode never really comes up again, and I don't feel like it changes Janeway permanently.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another example where she has another, like, really profound, just pure leap of faith. And I can't think of it.
Yeah, I can't either. This was written by Lisa Klink. I'm a big fan of Lisa Klink. I think she does some great Voyager stuff. She did Blood Fever, Scientific Method, Message in a Bottle, Omega Directive. That was all her. She even wrote, you know, Hippocratic Oath for Deep Space Nine. And with this one, it just, I don't know. It just felt so weird in a Star Trek setting. I don't think it's true to the show.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that point entirely, but seeing as how this did not have a profound long-term impact on Janeway, I think we can strike it.
Okay.
So, bye.
We're being really loosey-goosey with our strikes this season.
You think so?
I don't know. We'll have to wait until the end to compare it with other seasons.
Yeah, I suppose that'll be telling, won't it? Okay. Next up is Future's End.
After encountering a Federation timeship from the future, Voyager is flung back to the 20th century of Earth. Yes. This is a no-brainer. I mean,
I think so. Yeah,
this
come
is amazing.
On.
Yeah.
This is a great episode. I thoroughly enjoy it. It is a favorite of mine. I think it's a good story, and especially as far as time travel stuff goes, this is one of the best.
And also, this character of Braxton is going to come up again and again.
It's true, so therefore that makes it essential, even, you know, like the story or not, and therefore we've got to keep it. And I think just automatically that means we include part two, because there's a lot there that you have to know for future reference.
Oh, absolutely. And also with this, I mean, like, this is the beginning, whether you like it or not, this is the beginning of Voyager messing with time and going back through time. And
yeah.
Whenever they do that, you know, and like we see these temporal agents again, they're just kind of like, oh, God,
you know, Janeway.
Oh, my God, it's Janeway again. You know, like, and you got to know where the genesis of that is. And this is it. And also
Genesis. Genesis. Genesis allowed us not. It's planet forbidden. Sorry. I can't help myself. Earl Grey makes me do it.
It's fantastic. But with this one, talking about them trying to get home, I mean, they have that line where Chakotay's like, well, Janeway, you did it. You got us home. You know, it's just in the wrong
right
century.
Right place, wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, absolutely. Part one, part two needs to happen, I think, more than anything on this list so far.
I have to agree. With the possible exception, maybe, of Basics Part Two, but they're all right up there. Really strong two-parters so far.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, that leads to Warlord, Episode 10.
Kes is taken over by the mind force of an obsessive rebel.
I don't know if we need to keep this one. It is a really strong Kes episode.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily about Kes, because she's possessed by another being, and therefore we see Jennifer Lean acting this character via Kes, which is interesting to watch. But I think the only real consequence you get out of this episode maybe is just the breakup between Kes and Neelix.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing is that, like you said, I mean, this isn't really a Kes episode. This is more of a Jennifer Lean episode.
Yeah, it showcases her, and it does it very well. She's fantastic.
Yeah, this is a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end where Kes breaks up with Neelix, is that enough? Is that 30 seconds at the end? Is that enough to keep the episode?
Yeah. I want to say no, just because by this point in their relationship, they've kind of been a little distant anyway. And I don't know about you, but when the show was airing, I saw this coming and I was not at all surprised. And I thought, well, it's a little too late anyway. And what would be the point of even saying, oh, yeah, you've got to see it for that?
You know, at the end of the episode, she's talking with Tuvok, you know, like he's trying to teach her some more meditation techniques. And she's like, I can't just pretend like this never happened. You know, my relationship with you, my relationship with the Doc and Neelix, they're never going to be the same again.
But they are.
But they, yeah, but that's, I don't know. I don't, I like it. This one isn't cut and dry for me. I'm on the fence of getting rid of it.
I don't even think for entertainment value on its own is enough to keep it.
All right. Okay. I'll concede. I'm conceding with you because I do not have a strong argument other than what I've said already. So
okay.
I am lightly conceding on this one.
Okay. Well, that's the fun of Essential Trek, right? Next up, then, is the Q and the Gray.
Q has a novel idea for ending Civil War in the Q Continuum, have a child with Captain Janeway. Now, we just did a commentary on this one.
Yes, we did, and we pointed out several problems with the story. However, I vote to keep it, for one thing, because this has ties to Death Wish, which we kept in our Essential Voyager, and this is... I would still say, despite its problems, a good Q episode. It has high entertainment value, mm-hmm. and it's worth watching.
And it has ties with a future Q episode, Q2.
That's true.
Or Q squared, so, or whatever.
Which one is it?
It's one of the two. And so we have to keep it. Like, regardless of how you feel about it, this has continuity, and we made a rule that we're gonna keep continuity.
Yeah, so therefore we keep the Q and the Gray. Fair enough. All right, moving on. Macrocosm.
When viruses grow to a meter in length and begin attacking the crew of Voyager, Captain Janeway and the Doctor must retake the ship. This is such a badass episode for Janeway. This, we've said many times before, this episode establishes Janeway as the gung-ho, not just the science nerd captain.
It's true. Also, I think even as a first-time watcher, you're going to appreciate the joke of Janeway committing a diplomatic faux pas by putting her hands on her hips.
Yes.
I think that alone is worth watching because you're going to laugh out loud at that moment. I mean, if you've watched any Voyager, you know that Janeway's trademark is hands on hips. So the fact that that caused some problems is hilarious if you ask me. Not to mention the fact that, yeah, you've got Janeway stripped down to a tank top, mm-hmm. shooting viruses with a big phaser rifle, which, stop me if I'm wrong, but this was the first time they really got to break those out and
yeah.
go nuts
they stuck
with
those
them.
In. Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't have a profound long-term impact, but it is good entertainment value. And it, you're right, it does show that Janeway is more than just a scientist. You know, she can get down and dirty with the best of them, just like any other captain, if she needs to.
Right.
So
right.
It's good to see that.
Yeah, I think so too. So I think we have to keep it.
Okay, let's keep it. Next one is Fair Trade, episode 13.
A meeting with an old friend lands Neelix in an ever-deepening hole of trouble.
Now, I'm a little torn on this one. It is not a personal favorite of mine, but it does have some good info on Neelix.
Yes.
We learn a bit more about him, and therefore I wonder if we ought to keep this.
Well, I think here's the main reason why I think we ought to keep it, and I know I'm biased towards Neelix, but this establishes that after this episode, he has no idea what's going to happen.
Oh, you're right. You are right.
That was a big thing for the past 2.5 seasons was, you know, like whenever they encountered someone or something that they didn't know, they were like, Neelix, have you ever seen this before? He's like, oh, yeah, I was on a trade route, you know, like 6 years ago, and I totally saw this.
Right. Whether he really did or not.
Yeah, whether he did or not. But now, after this episode, after they go past this expanse or whatever, the Necrid expanse, mm-hmm. they go past the cloud barrier. He's like, yeah, I have never been this far. My value to the crew is up in the air. And so, you know, I think this is definitely Essential Trek when it comes to Neelix.
Yeah. I guess my only problem with the episode is I find it a little boring in that they had a fantastic kernel of an idea here, like they often do, with mm-hmm. Neelix essentially having like this existential crisis. Like, what use am I going to be to the crew if I don't know where they're going next? But this right. moment was inevitable. And I'm glad that they do touch on it. I'm going to let this one slide. It's got to go in.
Let this one slide.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. That leads to alter ego.
Tuvok and Harry Kim become interested in a holodeck character who is more than she seems. There's no reason to dwell on it. There's no reason to keep this episode. I mean,
okay, thank you.
Harry Kim, he falls in love with another girl, and it doesn't show anything about his character except that he falls in love with the wrong person. It's referenced later, you know, in the future where Tom's like, oh, you fall in love with a hologram, the wrong twin, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but so what? He could have fallen in love with any hologram. The only redeeming thing about this whole episode is Janeway and Chakotay getting laid in the resort program. Yes.
Yes, you made that joke, yes.
Yeah, I can't help it. That's the only time I get to make that joke is with this episode, and I don't know, just watch that moment and then you're good.
Now, I'm not saying this is a horrible episode. I think it does have some redeeming value. I think it kind of goes into the brain of Tuvok, which I think is fun. But at the same time, it's not essential to them getting home. It's not essential to any character. So I say we just move on.
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's a little boring if you ask me.
Yeah.
So, boo. All right, Coda.
After her apparent death, Captain Janeway's journey to the afterlife, guided by her father, leaves her with suspicions.
Yeah, all right. Now, I love to watch this episode for obvious reasons, but it's not a good episode. I can admit that. There's definitely problems with the writing of this episode. It is not a masterpiece by any means. However, the big point, I think, for keeping this one is that a lot of the information that we learn from Jerry Taylor's Mosaic, because Jerry Taylor writes Coda, if you don't think it's canon from the book itself, it becomes canon in this episode because you learn that much more about Catherine Janeway. Now, is that essential to her character? I argue yes.
I say yes. I say it's essential backstory that gets developed on and used later on. And also, this is a huge Janeway-Chakotay relationshipper episode.
Oh, hell yeah.
This establishes a lot of tendrils that kind of go off into the future that we reflect upon later, where we're just like, oh, remember that time in Coda? You know, this is like that. You know, like, and so I think it's essential to Janeway's backstory. It's essential to Janeway and Chakotay's quote-unquote romance.
Relationship, however you want to interpret it.
However you want to interpret it. I think you absolutely need Coda.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not going to argue against Coda then. Let's keep it. All right, and that leads to Blood Fever.
This is episode 16. B'Elanna Torres experiences symptoms similar to the Pon Farr after being attacked by Ensign Vorik, who is also undergoing the Blood Fever. Okay, so you're going to have to help me with this one because...
Oh, yeah?
I love this episode. It's written by Klink. It's directed by Andrew Robinson.
Mr. Garrick, yes.
Mr. Garrick himself. It's an awesome B'Elanna episode, one of the best. You got to help me figure out if it's essential just because it's good. Now, I could say that this is the beginning of the Tom B'Elanna relationship.
That is, I think, the reason why you do keep it, because prior to this, if you're really looking for it, maybe there is a little bit of flirtation here and there. It's a little sparing, but this is where everything really kind of comes to a head. I think you kind of have wondered up to this point, are Tom and B'Elanna going to get together or not? And then, of course, under very awkward circumstances, yes, they do. But this is the true beginning of what ends up being their relationship. And that is very essential to the rest of the series, and therefore you keep it. Plus, if you are not just a first-time Star Trek Voyager fan and you know a little bit more about Star Trek, you kind of know that what the Pon Farr is, and you know what that does to Vulcans, and to have this on Voyager, well, it's worth the watching.
And also, for the same reason that we turned down Warlord because it wasn't enough to keep the last 30 seconds, this episode absolutely is worth keeping the last 30 seconds because it reveals that they're entering Borg space.
Yes, that too. And that becomes extremely important as we go on in the series. So this is definitely a keeper, if you ask me.
Definitely a keeper, yes. I agree.
Now, speaking of Borg, the next episode up is Unity.
Chakotay is injured and trapped on a world where the inhabitants are engrossed in conflict, but the people who rescue and care for him harbor a disturbing secret. Okay, this is the first real Borg episode that we have in Voyager, and that's going to be very important later. Also, one thing that we got to think about is this is going to play, I don't want to say heavily, but part of this episode plays on in Scorpion when Chakotay is like, I was a part of a collective before. I know how they think. I know what it feels like. Let me do it again. And this is the episode he's referencing when he was a part of a collective.
Yeah.
Is that enough to keep it? I mean, it's the first Borg episode that's going to be the first of many.
Yeah.
And we hear him, it's referenced later on, even not even in the show, but in the season.
I don't
like this episode, okay? I don't either. Okay, they're space hippie Borgs with a communal garden, okay?
Well, you know what really ticks me off is when they first aired this episode, they made a really big freaking deal out of it because it was February sweeps and it was going to be about the Borg, and they didn't have any qualms about letting us know that. And then it is the Borg, but it's not. It's like this little mini collective, and it's really just a love story between Chakotay and Riley Frazier. And I do not give a you-know-what.
See, that's the thing, is that, like, I don't think it's very good. I think it's kind of boring, and they definitely oversold what they were going to do in this episode for February sweeps.
Totally.
And I don't know. Okay, I gave reasonings as to why I think it's essential. I'm doing it begrudgingly, but you can disagree with me.
Yeah, well, I want to, but I don't have a terribly strong case against it. Just the fact that it's boring, and aside from mentioning, oh, I was part of a collective, do we really remember much about Riley Frazier? She comes up in the novels, but that's not essential Voyager.
No, no.
I'm really torn. I'll let you cast the final vote.
I give a begrudging yes.
Okay.
Probably the most this season is, this is my begrudging yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, with teeth gritted, I'm going to add it. Next up is Darkling, episode 18.
The Doctor alters his personality subroutines while Kes contemplates leaving Voyager for a man.
No.
No. This, no. Like,
this is
nothing,
stupid. Stop.
Nothing happens afterwards. Like, nothing is permanent. Like, the Doc really doesn't learn anything new because he continues to tamper with his program.
Yeah. We get to see the Doctor, you know, play evil for a little while, and yeah, the Kes messes around with another dude for a little while, and then the episode's over and we never remember it again.
Yeah, so no.
Puh. Rise.
Voyager defends a planet that is being bombarded by asteroids. So this is the one with the lift, like with the
The space elevator.
It's a space elevator, if you can't remember. We did a commentary on this one because it's a very mediocre episode, and you could argue that this is essential to Tuvok and Neelix's relationship, but I don't think it is.
I really don't, no. There's plenty of other and better and shorter, more concise examples of their relationship. You don't need that much out of this. Even the scene where Neelix blows up at Tuvok, I don't think is necessarily essential because I just don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one redeeming thing about this whole episode, right? Is where Neelix finally has had enough of Tuvok's crap and just says, you know what?
Yeah.
Listen here, Mr. Vulcan. I'm sick of your attitude. And I'm sick of the way you treat me, and, you know, have a heart. But no. The rest of the episode is not worth that when you get a lot of the same effect later on.
Yeah.
So, bye-bye. Okay. Favorite son.
Favorite son.
God, this is a streak of horrible episodes.
Harry seemingly learns both that he is actually a member of a Delta Quadrant race and that his people want him never to leave his new home.
Uh-huh.
As much fun as this episode is to make fun of, and we do get some Harry backstory, I don't think it's essential backstory to his character.
I don't think so either, and this is what could have been an interesting sci-fi episode, like a concept. The way it plays out is just really yuck.
Yeah, I'd have to say no. Like, if you want to watch it ironically, then, you know, watch it ironically, like after you do your initial watch. But I don't think it's essential to your first viewing.
No, and it doesn't really have any lasting impact on Harry.
No.
So it's not essential. Okay, that leads to a much better episode, if you ask me. And that is Before and After.
Cass finds herself in temporal flux with her consciousness moving back in time through various episodes in her life up until her birth. I say absolutely. There is a lot of continuity in this. This is referenced many times later on in the show. We see some alternate future. We see some past. And we get a different view of this from a different character once Seven comes on board. And I think it shows what could have been if B'Elanna died and what Cass's life would have been like and what Tom's life would have been like. And we need to know who the Krenim is moving forward.
Yeah, that I think is a key element there. This is where the Krenim first come into play, and that becomes very important as we move into season four. But this is also, like Warlord, this was a great Jennifer Lean episode, but this is also a good Kes episode. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting sci-fi idea. It's really entertaining. Never mind the whole Harry getting with Tom and Kes's kid thing. If you can see past that, this is a great episode, so I say to keep it.
Yeah, and a lot of people consider this as episode one of the Year of Hell trilogy.
Do they?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay, I don't quite see it that way, but all right. Next one is real life.
The Doctor learns a few real-life lessons with the holographic family he created. Voyager investigates massive subspace distortions. Okay, so even though this is not referenced anywhere near as much as it should have moving forward.
For real.
You gotta have this because of the Doc and his exploration of his own humanity.
It's an incredibly powerful episode, even by itself, just because of what happens. And I know the parents out there, it always brings a tear to their eye because I think you automatically wonder, well, what if this were my child? And it's got that kind of gravitas. Yes, it should have been brought up way more because he had a family. And then all of a sudden, after this, it's not even referenced again. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But that all aside, it's still really good to watch it. You gotta keep it, I think.
You gotta keep it.
Okay. Distant Origin.
An alien scientist finds evidence linking his species' ancestry to Earth, but government officials refuse to accept his evidence because it conflicts with existing doctrine.
Now, personally, I like this episode.
I love it. I think it's great.
I think it's got a fantastic Star Trek message.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some interesting sci-fi theory in it. And I find it highly entertaining. Now, is it absolutely necessary for Voyager? Maybe not necessarily, but it does have some Voyager continuity because they find Hogan's uniform remains on the planet from Basics. And that helps these people lead to Voyager and their possible distant origin, if you will.
But this is solely backwards continuity.
Right.
And as much as I love this episode, and I think it's fantastic, it's a great sci-fi message, it's a great Star Trek message, I think Chakotay's influence in the episode is really solid, because we don't get that a lot.
No.
I can't say it's essential.
Yeah, I don't know if it's essential. It is a good, solid episode, though. And it is intriguing. Is that not enough to keep it?
I don't know. That's the thing, is that like by the rules that we have established, is just that it's a really good episode enough.
Yeah, I think more often than not, we voted no.
Yeah.
And since this isn't necessarily, I mean, it's more than just about the crew, I will reluctantly say maybe we ought to strike it from the list.
Yeah, this is hard though, because it's so enjoyable in my eyes.
It
that
is.
I would want the people to see this.
Maybe we make this the optional.
Oh, there we go. Hey, there we go. Okay.
All right, let's do that. Let's make everybody happy.
Distant Origin optional. Okay.
Okay. We have made it so. That leads to our next episode, which is Displaced.
Episode 24, Voyager crew members begin disappearing one by one, being replaced by aliens. We did a comment. Oh, wait, we did a rewrite on this one, right?
We did, yes.
Yeah, I think this is... No, I'm just going to say no to this one.
Yeah.
It doesn't really add anything. It doesn't really take anything away. I mean, it's not atrocious, but I don't think really anything moves forward with this.
Right. I don't think there's anything you've got to know or learn from this episode. It's fairly inconsequential. I mean, it's not a bad hour of TV, but no, you don't need to see it.
No, I don't think so.
The next one is worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario, I know that, like, for the same reason we made Distant Origin optional, because it was so enjoyable, we gotta come up with a reason why this is, you know, this can stay in, because this is a fun episode. I think it's great. I think it's one of the best of season three. Mm-hmm. I don't think it really has any forward continuity, but...
But it has lots of that backward continuity.
It has lots of backwards continuity.
So much so that I say you have to keep it, because this is all about a big what if that we all wanted to know more about when Voyager got started. I've always thought that an episode like this should have aired sometime during season two, and it would have made everybody happy.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that it's airing almost at the end of season three, again, feels a little too late. But at the same time, at least we got this, and it was highly entertaining, mm-hmm. and therefore, I think we keep it.
I think because it deals with the Starfleet Maquis question, no matter how late it is, how little too late, because it deals with that question, something is better than nothing, so I think it should go on to the essential.
Yeah, it's very important to Voyager, so that, I think, is justification enough to keep it.
Yes.
All right, so that leaves us one more, and that is, of course, Scorpion.
Upon entering Borg space, Voyager encounters an alien race even more powerful than the Borg, and bent on destroying all life in the galaxy, forcing Captain Janeway to enter into an alliance with the Borg in order to defeat them.
Someone more powerful than the Borg?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Is that Catherine Janeway trying to do a George Takei impression?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think it was...
She needs to work on it.
You just heard Tristan Riddell imitating Janeway, imitating George Takei.
Meta.
So, yeah, I mean, come on. I think this is a no-brainer. The introduction of Species 8472. Mm-hmm. This is the best Borg episode that we've gotten so far.
By far and away.
This ripples throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this really gets the party started. This is a huge, very important Borg episode. Like, we really are in the heart of their territory now. We've got to deal with this. And even as Janeway says in the episode, this day was inevitable. We all knew it.
Yep.
And so here we go. Strap in and let's go for the ride. And I think it's just a fantastic episode, especially this part one. Gotta have it. Okay, so now we have season three, Essential Voyager. Tallying everything up, minus our optional, we have kept 15 out of 26 of the episodes that comprise of season three, which is roughly 58% of the season. It's a little lower than our previous average of 65%, which we had in season mm-hmm. two, and it's a little more than what we had of season one. So total, combining all three seasons thus far of Essential Trek, we've kept almost 60% out of the 68 episodes we have kept or chucked thus far.
And people at home, like, don't take that as like, oh, you're giving Voyager a D overall. No. This isn't like an American educational grading scale. This is just percentage that we're throwing out there that you need to watch. Now, you know, like, that doesn't mean it's 59% that are good episodes. It's just 59% of episodes that are essential to the storytelling of the overarching plot of going home or character development.
Right. And these are, of course, our opinion. It's our podcast. This is what we consider essential. So check out all of our shows. We are available any way that you want to get your podcast. And we even have another podcast for you to listen to on the network. Let's acknowledge Metatrex for making its debut on the Trek FM network. This is a Star Trek and philosophy podcast. So this is amazing stuff. And Zachary Frühling and Mike Morrison, they do an incredible job of covering these very deep topics. I highly recommend that you give it a listen if you haven't already. One more thing before we go. We've got to, of course, talk about Patreon, because we are a listener-supported network and we could not do this without you. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber if you are not already. There's cool perks in it for you. Things like early releases of episodes, special ringtones, wallpapers, you name it. And I believe for what remains of the month of October, any level of a patron can access this and give it a look. Consider becoming a subscriber if you haven't already and get some extra stuff while also helping us out. Now, we especially want to thank our associate producers, Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Aaron Harvey, and Bruce Lish. They all support TTJ especially, but they also support the network at large. And so please give them a big round of applause and a thank you for being awesome. Well, we've done season 3, Essential Trek, now, and we've got to move on to the next big thing. What is that going to be, Tristan?
What we're doing next week is something that I think is a lot of fun, and it's our episode comparisons, where we go outside of Voyager and compare one Voyager episode with another episode of Star Trek, like from TOS or TNG, Deep Space Nine, Enterprise. But this week, we're going to be dealing with TNG's A Matter of Perspective from episode 14, season 3, and it's when Riker is charged with the murder of a prominent scientist. Each side uses the holodeck to show their side of the story, and what we're comparing it to is Ex Post Facto from season 1 Voyager, where Tom Paris is convicted of murder. He denies having committed the crime, even though the images extracted from the victim's own memory seem to prove his guilt.
That's right. We've not done a comparison in a long time, so I think this is way overdue, and you know what? These might not be the greatest episodes, but the comparison could be incredibly interesting, so I'm really looking forward to this next week. But you're going to have to wait until the next episode, so until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!